I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. A couple of weeks ago, I got back from out in Washington, and I kind of preached the sermon out there, and so I hope you'll forgive me for people say recycling them or whatever, but I think you'll find that you may find something in it. Let's turn to Job, the first chapter. And I'm going to kind of set this up for you. I didn't probably do a very good job when I preached this the first time, but I want to start in the first chapter, the first verse. And there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them, all for Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. So he offered sacrifices for his children even. And it was important for him that he was a perfect man. You're going to see, as I go further through this, what kind of a person he was. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." You ever thought about those scriptures? I mean, who wrote this? This is a spiritual experience that's going on. This is a conversation between Satan and God. Does Job fear God for nothing, for now? But God had already knew that Satan had already had a go at him. But the tactics that Satan uses, he couldn't get through. That hedge, that barrier that God had put around him and even his family, because Job was a perfect man. But then you've got to ask the next question. How was that possible? Because there was rules of engagement. He had to ask permission from God to be able to afflict Job. You ever thought about that? Now, why? Why did he have to ask God? I already answered it. Because he was a perfect man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Satan had no way to get to him. The 11th verse. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons of and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And we know the story, what happened. All that he had was gone. You ever thought about that? We think while the blessings are coming upon us that we're doing okay. Could you imagine if this happened to each and every one of us? Probably not. You start to question what you were doing or what you weren't doing. I want you to go to, and don't go away from Job, but I want you to go in the Book of Mormon, page 479. Now I'm going to start in the 132nd verse. Now Moroni was a strong and a mighty man. He was a man of a perfect understanding, yea, a man that did not delight in bloodshed, a man whose soul did joy in the liberty and the freedom of his country and his brethren, and from bondage and slavery, yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people, a man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people. And I'm going to go down to the 39th verse. And his heart did glory in it, not in the shedding of blood, but in doing good, in preserving his people, yea, in keeping the commandments of God, yea, and resisting iniquity. Yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been and were and ever would be like unto Moroni, behold, the power of hell would have been shaken forever. Yea, the devil would never have power over the hearts of the children of men. Another righteous man. A standard of always doing the right thing, a standard of also wanting to understand and to know their God better. Resisting iniquity. How well do we do that? That the power of hell would be shaken. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And it'll be the 11th chapter. Verse 27-30. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, I want you to think about that, because I believe also that if you're not baptized, that's unworthiness to partake of the Lord's Supper. But I also believe that it is that we do not examine ourselves, that we prepare ourselves for that day. And I know that Paul wanted to do this for the right reasons. We don't prepare ourselves anymore, do we? Or do we? How can we say that we're righteous when there are things in our lives that keep us from the relationship, like Job? And believe me, I used to tell the Lord the same thing. I would say to him, I am not Job. And it was my immaturity as a Christian. It was my immaturity. I try never to tell my Lord that anymore. And also my sinful ways. So if those blessings stopped coming in our lives, what would we say? Let's go over the page to the 13th chapter, 6th verse through the 9th. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All these gifts gone away. How would you do, like Job? Or like myself, an immature Christianity? Let's go to 3 Nephi, page 663. I'm going to start. This is the 9th chapter of 3 Nephi, and I'm going to start in the 101st verse. Yea, woe unto the Gentiles, except they repent, for it shall come to pass in that day. What's that day mean? That means the last days. Saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. Has that happened? Hasn't happened. So how are you going to get along without your cars? And I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off thy cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. Now think about this. This is talking about this land. This is talking about this land. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of the hands, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Do you know I looked up that word witchcraft? Comes from the Greek word pharmacia, means medicine, pharmacy. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So you're not going to have any medicine. Thy graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. I don't think any of these things have happened, guys. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel. And I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to be aware of what's going on. Fear is a great motivator, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is that we might repent, that we might be that people. And I believe that this is for our time. You know, and everyone that you talk to, they understand that there's something going on. They're not sure what it is, but there's something going on. They can't put their finger on it. We've seen 9/11. We saw that God's protective hand was just taken away for a moment. How well did we do? The strongest nation in the world, without his matchless protection, can't stand. The Israelites, they weren't any different. They did the same thing. They thumbed their nose at God just like we are. We're taking God out of everything. These scriptures are for us, here, now, and today. Are we going to change our ways? See, we're satisfied with our lives continuing on as though nothing is going to happen. Now, and I wanted you to think about this. This is a journey that we're on. Make no mistake, this is a journey. And so, if you're going on a journey, don't you usually pack and prepare? Don't you have things that you take with you for that journey? I mean, makes sense, doesn't it? And I'm talking about the spiritual preparation. Let's start with the Sabbath day. How well do we do on that? I mean, I know that, you know, the Lord said, you know, it's okay to do good on that day. But you know what? We make lots of excuses. We truly do. You know, I remember when I grew up back in New Zealand, when I left there, there was no Saturday and Sunday shopping at all. There was late night Friday shopping. That was it. Lord's Day, you know, just like any other day when I came here. Of course, I didn't know the Lord even back then. But it was important that the Lord put that day apart for a reason. Not that we worshipped it, but that it was important that we rested on a day, that we set it aside for Him. But we don't. It's like any other day. I'm just as guilty. Let's go to Matthew 24. And it is the 16th verse. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. No, it's not that important, is it? You see, I think it's important that we get back to the basics. Because we've gone away from them. We're part of the world. You know, one of the things that I do, because I'm very undisciplined in many ways. But one of the things that I do, you know, and there's always something to do on the farm, is I don't take off my church clothes. That way I'm not tempted to go out and weld something up or fix something, or as I'm kind of like that. But we esteem one day as another. And I don't think God looks at it like that. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. I'm going to start in the first verse. I'm going to read the whole chapter because I think it's really important. I'm going to go down to the 8th verse first. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore saith unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourn in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. We don't have Baal anymore, do we? We don't pass our children through the fire, or do we? But what we do have, we have NFL. We have NASCAR. We have all kinds of things that we set up as our idols. You can number any of them. And most of them are on Sunday. Nine through 20. And if the prophet be deceived, then he hath spoken a thing. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they were delivered, but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall be delivered themselves. There was only three guys. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now, who of you is like them? Who of you is like them? Because we're talking about destruction. We've seen it right here in the Book of Mormon, and it's talking about us. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my fourscore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beasts and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their ways and their doings. And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not gone without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. I heard people say about Katrina, I heard people say about 9/11, that why would God do that? He allows those afflictions to come upon us. Rules of engagement. That we might repent. As I said, I'm very undisciplined. And I'm trying really hard to change that. Desire to have a better, greater understanding of my God's ways. But the Sabbath is just one facet. It's only one thing. I'm going to go to Ephesians, and you've heard this time and time again. Because simple. Sixth chapter, 10th verse through the 19th. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, we understand that, do we? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This was Job. For he wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Isn't it very important? I believe it is. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not my righteousness or self-righteousness, but it is our God, the standard. And your feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means that we don't use that truth as a sledgehammer, beat people over the head with it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, you can move it around, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It wasn't just for myself, it was for everyone. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. That means we don't keep it to ourselves. Most of you know that I took a trip out to Washington recently, or the Northwest. And you know, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that you do talk to that know that something's going on. The corruption in our government and the apathy of our people. And I've heard people say that, you know, this country does so much good. So why would God destroy it if we do so much good? If the example in the Book of Mormon should scare you more than anything, when they had turned from their God as we have, as a nation, and it is all through the Book of Mormon. We are ripened in iniquity, turned away from our God sufficiently that he's not very happy with us. And we do pass our children through the fire. I took issue with a guy that I was at a Bible study with about that abortion was the law of the land, and that the law of the land must mean that it's okay. The Israelites were doing the same thing. They were selling their children for human sacrifices, and we're not any different. And he said that there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that abortion is wrong, because it doesn't mention that word. I told him, I said, why? He says, if I take a gun and shoot someone, I'm not guilty of murder. If you use that same logic. But I am. We can't justify the things that we're doing and saying that it's okay. Let's go back to Job. All these things happened to Job. He lost everything, and this wasn't just the first time that he was afflicted. And in that first chapter, the last verse, the 22nd verse of that chapter, it says, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You see, when these trials come before us, it's about the only time that we really question what we're doing and what we're not doing. And that we believe as a nation that these things couldn't happen to us. And I say, why not? Because if we're not fashioning our lives like Noah, Daniel, or Job, remember, a remnant, that's not a very big piece. You know, when I heard the gospel for the first time, I was amazed at those miracles that the people that were around me that had. And I wanted those miracles for myself. I seen the faith, I seen the love for their God, and I seen their love for one another. And God was real. Because I experienced those things also. Let's go to 3 Nephi, 4th chapter. It'd be page 623. It's the first verse of the 4th chapter. "And now it came to pass that according to our records, and we know that our record to be true, for behold, it was a just man who did keep the record, for he truly did many miracles in the name of Jesus. And there was not any man who could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from his iniquity." And I myself am ashamed in that all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. We don't command and cleanse ourselves from our iniquity. So I want you to think about that first verse. "For he did many miracles in the name of Jesus." Was nothing on his own. Let's go to page 711 in the Book of Mormon. This is the 4th chapter of Mormon, 80th verse. "And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be God of miracles and yet to be an unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God, and he ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceases to do miracles among the children of men is because they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God in whom they should trust. Behold, I say unto you that whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing whatsoever, he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is done unto all, even unto the ends of the earth." And I've heard people say that it's not God's will. Has he told you? Do we test that spirit? We have cheated ourselves. of the true blessings of God. And so I pray that you know your God better, and that he would pour out his Spirit upon you all. Thank you for your time. I truly appreciate the opportunity to come before you.